I think the board felt that they were sort of, there wasn't a good solution, frankly. If you went with the black students, then you had kicked in the teeth. The white students had made such a tremendous effort. If you went with the white students who had made the effort, then the black students were going to be aggrieved, and probably fairly rightly so. There just wasn't a solution for this that was going to be acceptable to both sides. And
So what happened following that?
Well, so the parents were the marshals. And seniors managed to walk down the aisle without anybody to lead them, and the parents handed out the programs. And
let me go back, and I've only talked to one person who was directly involved with this uprising, and what I heard was that a group of black students went to the principal and asked for a number of things and were summarily dismissed by the principal.
No, I don't think that's true.
And when they walked out of the office, then like a wildfire, something happened in the school, and the black students locked themselves in one portion of the school.
I don't remember the details of that. It was one of those things that you just had to wait and let it cool off a bit and go on.
The issues that were mentioned to me were the lack of teaching of African American history.
Oh, we went through a terrible time with people where they wanted us to teach Swahili. And I remember a group of black students who came to me and said, you know, what about this? And I said, well, you're in this position. The university and Duke have managed to find one person and they're sharing him to teach Swahili at Carolina and at Duke. And we're not likely to be in a competition for somebody to do that. That's just how it is. And why necessarily Swahili? There are a zillion black African languages. But, you know, I listened, and we got through it.
What about African history, African American history in this country? Was that an issue?
Well, I think we expected that it would be covered in U.S. history, and whether it was done well or not, I don't really know. Probably not very well. And no matter how it was covered, it probably wasn't going to satisfy most people. You know, it wasn't one side or the other wasn't going to be satisfied with how it was covered.
Do you think that the school board or the teachers at the school understood the tremendous pride that the black students had in Lincoln High School and the great loss that they felt by not being able to attend it, not being able to graduate, not being able to represent their school in the band or...
Well, now let's back up here.
Sure.
They went to Chapel Hill High School because they chose to go. Consequently, we can't say that they mourned over not being in Lincoln when they chose not to be there. You know, that was their choice. Lincoln could still be open, I suppose, to this day if they had opted out. I think they missed some things. The first year I was on the board and we had this terrible budget crunch and we had to cut out things. One of the things we felt very strongly that had to stay was the band at Lincoln because it seemed to mean so much. The band at Chapel Hill High School got canned. The band at Lincoln stayed.
Can you go over that? Was that while Lincoln was still in existence?
Yeah.
Okay.
And but the board felt that that this was a very important thing in Lincoln, and that and we would scrounge the money from somewhere to be able to keep that teacher and have that band.
So that was in the early 60s,
yeah.
Before integration.
Yeah.
How long did that continue?
I don't remember, but the band stayed there, and eventually...
The loss of the white band at Chapel Hill?
Oh, eventually they got it back. I don't remember how long. It was more than just a year. Lots of things, academic supervisors in the elementary school, when we had a resignation, they had to go and take a class and be a teacher again. We would have this scrape for every nickel we could get. And
did you get any flack over that from the white community?
Well, not when they understood why. If you were at a position where it says you may not run a deficit, and you've got one, then your only choice is to get over it. And
but you canned the white band and kept the black band.
Yeah.
And they didn't say discrimination or anything.
I don't remember that they did.
So I'm taking it from this that the black band meant a lot to.
We thought it did, and thought it ought to. That this was an activity that many students took part in, and we ought to say.
Was there pride in that band in the white community as well?
Well, they always marched in the Christmas parade and all that sort of thing. Everybody was good. They did a good job. They were good to watch. They were good to hear.
Are there any other issues that you'd like to mention, or anything you'd like to revisit here in the interview?
I don't think of anything. After all, it's been a long time. And I'm not as young as I used to be, and I don't remember as well as I might. But I was glad I did it. And I hope I was of some use. I would not for a moment say that we didn't make a bunch of mistakes, because we did. And we learned from some of them. Some of them turned out, in the long run, to have been more serious than others.
Well, let's visit that, and if you could go back and change some things, what would you have changed?
Well, I think we would have tried to find ways to incorporate the parents when the two high schools were merged, so that the parents felt a part of it. And so that they didn't have as much of the sense of loss as their school was gone.
The economic aspect of that.
Yes, it's still very difficult. There are essentially no well-paying black jobs in Chapel Hill except for the preachers and the teachers.
And a lot of the blacks worked for the white at that time, and maybe
the women
still,
certainly did, and maybe still do, I don't know, but of course, we hire a lot of black employees at Carroll Woods, and to try to keep them is fine. And we have it was one of the first places that adopted the livable wage. We didn't pay the minimum wage type things anymore. It's been several years ago, and we're now raising money. And there's no question it, but it won't be happening. We're going to build a Child Development Center at Carroll Woods, and it won't be all just for the children of employees,
but they're going to work with the Frank Porter Graham Child Development Center and to try to have this the best one of these that exists. But there'll be a monetary advantage to employees who have children of that age. And so you see the things that, well, of course, there's a course and a small daycare center at Chapel Hill High School. And its priority is given first to the children of students, with the effort to keep mostly unwed mothers back in school. If they have a place they bring their child every day, then they can come to school. It gives an opportunity for us to teach the beginning level of employees for daycare centers as one of the home economics courses, so that they're a professional, but then there are these classes who then learn about dealing with young children.
You're benefiting in many ways.
So it benefits, we think, in many ways.
How long has that been? Exactly?
Oh, a number of years.
Is that when you were on the board?
No, I don't think so. But the priority for the students, and then for the staff of the high school, and then after that, it's open. And it isn't a big one, but it does.
Did you have privy to the dropout rates when you were on the
school? Oh, yeah. We were worried about it.
Well, what was the dropout rate?
I don't remember. Ours has never been as much, probably, as most of the other places around. But
what about Lincoln versus the Chapel Hill Hall?
I don't remember.
Do you remember there being a significant...
No, I don't remember at all. The... Well, of course, one of the things that kept boys in school, of course, was most of them participated in athletics. And then they had to stay in school and had to keep the grades up. And Mr. McDougall frequently went on the bus when the team would go off to play, and he expected them to bring their school books and their homework.
I understand he also expected the teachers make home visits.
Yeah.
Is this something that went on at the Chapel Hill High as well?
I don't know. It certainly has gone on in the lower grades. He did a good job. And Mrs. McDougall taught, I think she finished up her teaching career at Estes Hills. And played the piano for lots of things. She played the piano very well. I haven't actually seen and talked to her since the dedication of McDougall Elementary School. But she and Charles and Charlene, the McDougall children, were there. And Steve said that she's not doing very well now, but she's older than I am. So she's probably well into her 80s. Well, the best way to do, if you need to talk to Mrs. McDougall, is to talk to Mr. Smith.
R.D.
And, because I think he does a fair amount of sort of being sure she's all right.
Mm-hmm.
And when Steve came to be the principal at McDougall Elementary School, he talked to Mr. Smith and said, would you take me so I can meet Mrs. McDougall and get acquainted with her? And he did.
Well, it's been a very enlightening.
Well, it's been an interesting thing. I'm not sure how much help I've been to you, but
I think
somebody else that you might find interesting to talk to is Mrs. Earl Mitchell. She was the first white teacher at Lincoln. And she was a special education teacher. And she was affluent enough that she could do things more than she, and she and Mr. McDougall sort of got together and finally, but she talked to the kids once and said, you know, would they like to go out to lunch? Well, yes. Well, where would they like to go? Well, they didn't think any more affluent than say, McDonald's. But there was a restaurant over between here and Durham. I can't remember the name of it now. Anyhow.
Not Brady.
No. This was much closer to Durham. And one of the student's father, I think, was a waiter there. Anyhow, she got in touch with them. And she said, I would like to bring the students to lunch here. And we need to find out, I need to know, I wanted a menu, and because that's going to be our reading lesson for the next week or so, is to learn to read the menu and know how to order in a restaurant. And so that they did that, and they went, and they had a wonderful time, and I suspect she picked up a fair amount of tab. But Mr. McDougall, you know, he provided the bus, he helped with this. The kids didn't pay anything, I think. And she did things like that. They talked about how you said to the waiter and how she was going to figure the tip and all this sort of thing, so that they would learn a little more about how to eat out. Because, of course, there were no black restaurants. You know, there wasn't any place for them to go.
And do you remember what year this was? Was this before integration?
Well, yeah. This was while we were probably during the period when we were having the public accommodations thing and people picketing eating establishments downtown to see if they wouldn't take on, let black people eat, and you know, there were no black secretaries on the campus, there were no black anythings in the hospital. Goodness, all we need is to have a, they're set,
are
they?
They are, they're the possums.
Yeah. We used to feed raccoons, and they're so bright, but possums are terribly dull. We provided dog food to all the raccoons on East Rosemary Street. We had pictures of as many as 28 in our backyard eating. But anyway, I could think of the name of the woman who taught home economics at Lincoln. She was a crackerjack teacher. I ran into her in Bill's.
Oh, yes, day. Yes. Her name, actually I'm going to interview her.
Oh, good.
It wasn't Mrs. Battle. And I don't have a list of people I'm going to interview here with me. So I can't remember it. But someone else had mentioned that.
I was in Bill's one day. She was in there buying small pieces of material because she was going to teach a class about collars and necklines and whatnot to the students, and which ones were becoming with the shape of their faces and whatnot, and colors and things. And she said, some of them just buy old tobacco spit brown.
Well,
but she, you know, now this was, and I don't know, I wouldn't be surprised what she was paying for the material, I don't know, she may well have been, but she was a good teacher.
Well, thank you again for
Coming by.
So much time to me,
and
appreciate it.
I will look forward to this.
I hope you'll come to the opening.
What are they going to have?